It was not clear at last week's meeting of J-COPE whether the commission decided to open an official investigation into Kat Sullivan. What is clear is that the Rape Survivor and Child Victims Act activist is getting ready to turn the tables on J-COPE and file a lawsuit against it. Joining me now to update us on J-COPE's allegations against Sullivan and why they've raised some eyebrows among those of us who follow state politics is Albany Times Union investigative reporter Chris Bragg. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you?
Good. Hi, Susan.
So let's begin with Kat Sullivan. Remind my listeners who she is and how she came to the attention of the state's Ethics Commission.
Sure. So Kat Sullivan attended the Emma Willard School in Troy. It's a prestigious all-girls school there. And she says that in 1998, when she was a senior there, she was raped by a teacher. She reported it at the time. Apparently, the school sort of ignored it, sought to cover it up. And 18 years later, in 2016, she made public allegations finally against the person she alleges raped her, came to a settlement with Emma Willard for an undisclosed amount, and then ended up spending some of that money trying to lobby for the Child Victims Act to try to help other people that had been in her kind of situation file lawsuits themselves.
Isn't it unusual for J-COPE to set its sights on an activist like Kat Sullivan, who is not a professional lobbyist?
It does seem odd. The number of resources they've dedicated to this have really been incredible. They've been after it since June 2018. They've called Kat Sullivan dozens of times, sent her a dozen letters, even harassed her boyfriend trying to get her on the phone. Called other people that were possible witnesses 50 times. So it is curious, given that so many bigger matters that have been a subject of federal probes and corruption in Albany have been ignored by J-COPE over the years, seemingly. And this has been the thing that they've really focused on.
So, and she is, what J-COPE is saying is that she's exceeded lobbying limits and didn't register as a lobbyist. The lobbying limit is, I think, $5,000. And do we know how much Kat Sullivan spent?
That's unclear. She spent, I think she says, $14,000 on three billboards, one of which was in Albany. The two other were in different states. So you got to divide that a little bit. She rented out a plane and then had that fly over the Capitol with a banner, sort of promoting the Child Victims Act. It's unclear if that would count as lobbying or not. So it's really not clear. And I don't know that J-COPE at this point has the evidence to say that she went over the limit, but they're trying to get it now. So.
Yes, they are. You reported on Friday that J-COPE staff told two vendors who aided Sullivan's 2018 effort to pass the CVA that they could face subpoenas if they didn't cooperate with them. Who were the vendors, and how did these vendors respond?
Sure. There was one vendor who did the billboards for their digital billboards that run on I-787 near the Capitol. He was asked for records concerning Kat's spending with him. He says he's going to turn them over voluntarily without a subpoena. And then there's another guy, I think he might be in California. So he originally was asked to actually fly the plane over the Capitol, but I guess ended up only producing the banner. And he told me that that probably cost no more than $3,000. So he sounds like he's not going to comply with the subpoena. At least he's saying that at this point.
J-COPE has been doggedly pursuing these vendors, as you reported. I am surprised at the timing. As far as Sullivan is concerned, J-COPE was obligated to tell her if on Tuesday they had voted to open up an official investigation, but she says they did not notify her. Yet someone from J-COPE on Wednesday, the day after the meeting, said to one vendor that, you know, they threatened them with a subpoena. Does that add up? What am I missing, Chris?
Right. So Kat Sullivan got her initial letter saying that basically that she was the subject of a serious investigation on July 12th. 60 days from July 12th is last Tuesday, which was the date of the meeting. That's the deadline that J-COPE had to either vote yes or no on formally starting a real serious substantial basis investigation. It appears almost certain that they didn't vote not to do it, given that they threatened subpoenas the next day. According to J-COPE, and I asked this to the spokesman yesterday, they don't think they have to notify Kat of an investigation until 30 days before a hearing would be held.
Oh,
Their interpretations of the law are a bit different, I think.
All right. So there could be an official investigation underway, and they don't have to tell Kat if there is one. That's interesting.
Of course, Jacob has ignored this law in the past of the 60-day requirement, gotten sued a bunch of times, including actually by Donald Trump back in 2015 and lost and had to reveal whether they took a vote. So, you know, Kat says she is going to file a lawsuit trying to find out. And if they didn't hold a vote, then they could stand to lose in court again on that.
If Jacob does investigate Kat Sullivan and she is found to have violated lobbying laws, what is the penalty?
The penalty is up to $25,000 per violation, and it could be several different violations. Kat also says that she's been told by the Jacob investigators that she could be subject to a misdemeanor charge of some sort. I don't know that that's ever been put in writing, but she believes that that could be the case.
Is that unusual?
I've never seen them go this hard after a case of unregistered lobbying. And that does raise the question that she's raised of why they're doing it. Is somebody that's a Jacob commissioner have some sort of ideological belief on this, or is there some reason that they're going after her so, you know, with so many resources compared to other cases they've done? Or is it just that they think that this would be an easy win that's turned into something that they didn't expect, and now they're not backing down? I don't really know the answer to that.
Let's talk about the Jacob chairman for a moment, because in one of the billboards and on this radio show and to you, Kat Sullivan has said, why doesn't this person recuse himself from Child Victims Act issues? Michael Rosen is his name. So tell us what his background is and why Kat believes he should recuse himself.
This really goes back to the idea of why is Jacob's staff putting so many resources into this investigation, and is somebody telling them to do it? And the theory she's come up with is that the chairman of Jacob might be responsible for this. She found out with her own research that Rosen had been the administrator of a victim's fund at Penn State University after the Jerry Sandusky scandal and the cover-up there. So she thinks, based on that alone, that Rosen should recuse himself because he's worked for an institution that worked to cover up child sex abuse. In my own reporting, I also found out that Rosen's former law partner, a very prominent attorney, Kenneth Feinberg, who does a lot of these dispute resolutions, in 2016 was retained by the Archdiocese of New York, which is Cardinal Dolan and the people that were the main lobbying force against the Child Victims Act. So I've been trying to find out if Rosen still has any sort of financial ties to Feinberg. According to his financial disclosure form, Rosen still makes about $1.9 million a year from a law firm and partnership income, even though that's not his main business anymore. So that does raise the question of whether he has any financial ties to Feinberg, which would be, you know, a very big conflict of interest, seemingly, if he was getting any money still from the Catholic Church.
Have you reached out to Rosen? And, you know, what has he said?
Yeah, I've reached out to Rosen through Jacob because that's the way that they do it. They don't let the commissioners comment themselves. But I have reached out to him. I've reached out to Feinberg, and no response to that question yet.
Yeah, that's sort of a big loose end.
Yeah. And I mean, it could be all a conspiracy theory. It could be that Rosen really is not driving this. It's something else that's happening.
Sure.
You know, the question is hanging out there again. What is making Jacob's staff go to the wall for this when, in so many other instances, they've ignored things that were much seemingly bigger problems?
Kat Sullivan's attorney is David Grandow, who is uniquely qualified to represent her. Tell us why.
Sure. He's the former executive director of the Lobbying Commission, I think it was called. It was the agency that preceded Jacob. So he knows the law really well. He's got a very sort of, as you know, flamboyant, inflammatory kind of style.
Yes.
that angers Jacob's staff. It's not unreasonable to think that perhaps that could be a small motivator for why they don't want to give up on this case. Honestly, I've kind of seen that in the past when he's had clients before them. He is a person that's very knowledgeable and qualified about these kinds of issues. So he's a good person to have on your side in these kinds of things.
Well, what's his take on why Jacob is continuing this?
He's of the same mind as Kat that it may be Rosen. It could be some sort of commissioner that has ties to the Catholic Church. I mean, it's unclear. You know, lawyers throw out allegations all the time that can't necessarily be proven. But I think he's on the same page as Kat in terms of somebody above the Jacobs staff is driving this and, you know, is angry about perhaps the protests on Tuesday, David's criticism of the Jacobs commissioners at the meeting. It's unclear, but I think he's of that mind.
He's representing her pro bono.
He is. And I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but he has done a lot of work for her for free, yes.
The latest is that Sullivan says she's going to now file a suit against Jacobs. Now, does she have a case?
It's unclear to me what exactly she's going to do at this point. I think she said in an email to both of us she was going to file an Article 78 proceeding. Typically, if that's like cases in the past, including ones that Brando has been involved with, that would seek to find out whether Jacobs has taken a vote yet on whether to start a substantial basis investigation, perhaps force them to take a vote within the 60-day timeline under the law if they haven't taken one yet. She's also mentioned filing a complaint with the Inspector General, which would be interesting given that the Inspector General is a former executive director of Jacobs, which is kind of...
Only in New York.
Which is kind of how ethics work in New York.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, she was going to file a complaint with the New York State Bar Association against Rosen also. So she's covering all her bases in terms of trying to retaliate against them, I think.
Yeah. Now, here's the big question I have for you. While officially Sullivan may have exceeded lobbying limits, the optics of Jacobs going after a rape survivor are not good. And this will likely feed the appetite of those who have been clamoring to replace the commission with what they say is a more independent commission, people like Senator Liz Krueger. So what would Jacobs be getting out of this? Because it doesn't seem like any sort of fines that they can claw back from Sullivan would be worth all of this.
That's a great point. You know, Jacobs in the past has often been accused of not being independent of Governor Cuomo in particular. He appoints 6 of the 14 commissioners. All the top staffers for Jacobs in its 8-year history have been former lawyers for Jacobs. You saw them not being independent, seemingly, in the Joe Prococo matter last year. Having said that, this instance would almost seem to suggest that they have some independence, given that I doubt that the Governor Cuomo or the Cuomo administration wants any part of this or would benefit in any way by them going after this rape survivor in this way and getting all this negative publicity. So in a roundabout way, you can make the argument that this proves at least some degree of independence of Jacobs.
Have you reached out to Governor Cuomo's office? Does he have anything to say about this?
I have not. That's a good question, though.
Have you spoken to any lawmakers who might be willing or interested in amending the lobbying law to somehow differentiate between activists like Sullivan and professional lobbyists? Because really, there does seem to be a difference there.
I don't know that any have. Maybe they have. There's been a lot of consternation about these regulations that Jacobs issued earlier this year that really broadly expanded the definition of lobbying.
Yes.
Captured a lot of grassroots activity that you're talking about with non-professional lobbyists and coalitions and things like that. I know that some lawmakers have expressed concern to Jacobs that this is not the kind of investigation they signed up for when they created it. For instance, Charles Levine, the assembly member from Long Island, was the ethics chair at the time that Jacobs was created and has written a letter saying this is not what we wanted when we, you know, created this agency to try to root out corruption in Albany.
Your reporting has been invaluable. Chris Bragg is an investigative reporter for the Albany Times Union, and you can read all his work at timesunion.com. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks so much.
The Capitol Press Room did reach out to Jacobs, and they emailed us the following statement, quote, "We cannot comment on anything that is or may be an investigative matter. However, the law requires disclosure to the public about who is lobbying their lawmakers and how much is being spent on those lobbying efforts. We have procedures for handling potential unregistered lobbying and treat all people and entities allegedly involved in that unregistered lobbying the same way. We will enforce the law and pursue the required disclosure."
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.